Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming. And today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We saw yesterday at the end, there's something called Kos Shel Ikarin, a cup that creates sterilization. It's a potion of different materials, and it can have medicinal qualities. It could also sterilize a person. And the Gemara had said it had three ingredients, saffron, Alexandrian residue off of the trees of Alexandria, the sap, and then it had something called tsarif in it, these three materials. And if you take two of the materials together with beer, it would, two of the ingredients with together with beer, it would heal jaundice, but it would create a situation of sterilization of a person being unable to have children. So Gemara had asked, how could you do that? We know there's a prohibition. You're not allowed to, you know, harm the reproductive organs. So how could a person take this potion? So ultimately, the Gemara answered that maybe it's referring to an old lady already anyway, can't have children, or a woman who is akara, a woman who's barren, and as a result, she can't have children. So that's how the end of yesterday's daf really went.
Why is the attention given to jaundice specifically?
I don't know. I guess it was a common condition. There are 10 different ways to heal it.
Right.
So that was how the discussion yesterday ended. So just to start again from there, the Gemara had first suggested maybe we're dealing with an animal. Maybe we're dealing with right. The Gemara says Ela Basaris. Maybe when are you allowed to use Kosher Likarin? It's with someone who's already his reproductive organs have already been damaged. The Gemara says, "Well, I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim b'machametz achem machametz. Everyone agrees. If someone takes a dough for a mincha and he makes a chametz after it's already been made chametz, shiu chayiv that he's chayiv. Shenem as it says, lo seyaf chametz, lo seyasa chametz. And b'masaris achem masaris. If a person makes someone, you know, damages the reproductive organs." After the organs have already been damaged, shuchayiv is obligated because the Torah talks about different types of damage to the reproductive organs. If the tubes connecting the testicles to the body get severed, if the whole bag gets cut off, things get crushed, the Torah over there says, "Umauch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus." So the question is, "Imalkarus chayiv." If for just cutting the tubes, you're already chayiv malchus, that's already the prohibition. Al nasuk lo kol shekein. So certainly if you cut off the whole bag, one would be obligated. El lavi nosik achar koris. But the point is that even after the tubes were cut off, and if he then adds to it by cutting off the whole bag, shu chayiv. So the Gemara says, ve'ela hizakin. So the answer is, how could anyone use the Kosher Likarin? It would have to be someone who's old. So anyway, he doesn't have the ability to have children because he's old. Asks the Gemara, Vamar Rabbi Yochanan, but it does also make sense. No one could ever be so old that he can't have children. Rabbi Yochanan spoke about certain, you know, medicines. He says, Hei neinich tziruni l'na'arusi. They brought me back to my youth. They made me able again to have children. So now the Gemara gives the final answer. Ela be'isha. Rather, it's referring to a woman. Because a woman doesn't have an obligation of puravu, so if she doesn't have an obligation of puravu, there's also no prohibition for her to negatively impact her reproductive systems. Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan broke Adam al Shneim, who Omer Vayivarech Hashem Elokim Yom Lehem Puravu. But according to Rabbi Yochanan broke, who says that God spoke both to Adam and Eve and told both of them, be fruitful and multiply, so he would hold that women are obligated in puravu. So Michael Amemar, so then what are you going to say? How could it be that there is a, how would you be allowed to use these things? So the answer to the Gemara, that was the answer that I mentioned at the beginning, the Zakena, a woman who's old, so she doesn't have the ability to go back to naturally to being fertile. She's not Sarah Imenu, where God made her fertile after her system stopped. Inayim Ba'akara, or a woman who is barren. She's missing her womb. She's missing the ability to have children. So for her, she's already infertile. She could take this Koshal Ikarin, even though it's going to sterilize her. All right, the next Mishnah continues with the theme. The theme is that the rabbis made a prohibition on doing acts that are clearly medicinal. So if you have some type of medicinal act that doesn't work. So people might think it's medicinal, but it doesn't work. So that would be permitted because it doesn't work. Or if you have an act which some people, a normal amount of people, would do for nutrition. Normal people would drink this thing, let's say milk. A lot of people drink milk. You happen to have a person who has a very delicate stomach. When they have milk, it makes them go to the bathroom. They had constipation, they wanted to clear everything. So they want to drink the milk on Shabbos to go to the bathroom. So even though for them, they're drinking the milk for a medicinal act, that's not within the rabbinic prohibition of don't do medicinal acts on Shabbos. It doesn't look like a medicinal act. It looks like just drinking milk. So that would be permitted. That's how we had last Mishnah. All the foods that are normally eaten, one could eat even for a medicinal purpose. All the drinks that are normally drunk, one could drink even for a medicinal purpose. So now we're going to talk about, you know, what are medicinal purposes that everybody sees it's medicinal, and what are things that are they don't appear to be medicinal. So says the Mishnah, Hachoshesh Bishinav, someone who has his teeth hurting him. His teeth hurt him. Lo yigamea behena tachometz. He should not swallow the vinegar with them, because it's not normal for people to be drinking vinegar. If someone's drinking vinegar, it's clearly a medicinal act that he can't do. What do people do with vinegar? They take their bread, their pizza, and they dip it into vinegar, maybe with some lemon juice in it and some salt and pepper. So therefore, Abel Metabalu Kedarko, he can dip his bread in the normal way, and then he's going to get some of that sharp vinegar on his teeth. That's okay. Nitrapit. He was healed. That doesn't look like a medicinal act. That just looks like a person is eating. And it's normal for people to eat vinegar or bread with vinegar. Hachoshesh b'masna. Someone who has pain on his thighs. So lo yasuch yayin v'chomes. He shouldn't apply as an ointment, as a lotion to the thighs, wine or vinegar. Or wine together with vinegar. Because these are liquids that people don't normally apply as lotions to make the skin softer, to create pleasure. This is clearly a medicinal act. But oil, people all the time are smearing their arms and their skin with oil to soften up the skin. So even though he's putting on the oil because he has pain and he wants to alleviate pain, it doesn't look like he's doing it for pain, though. It just looks like he's doing it for pleasure. So since it looks like he's doing it for pleasure, it's not included in the prohibition of don't do medicinal acts on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, even though he could apply oil to his thighs in order to alleviate pain, the lo shemen vered, he shouldn't use rose oil. I'm not really sure exactly what rose oil is. But I do know that when I spent time with our dear friends who are from Persia, from Iran, there's a lot of rose water. They pour rose water, they drink rose water. So my theory is that that's similar to this rose oil, oil where they soak the rose in it. And that has all sorts of medicinal qualities. So that's expensive. Since it's an expensive item, it looks medicinal. Because a normal person is not going to spend a lot of money on his ointments, on his lotions. A normal person is going to buy the cheap oil, can't afford the rose oil with the nice smell. Someone who's using rose oil is spending a lot of money. You start asking yourself, why is he spending so much money? You say, oh, must be, he needs it for his health. So that's already medicine. The name Malachim, however, princes, Sachin Shemen Verit Al Makosei, they can smear rose oil on their wounds. Shekein Darkam Lasach Bechol, because princes have a lot of money to spend. So since they have a lot of money to spend, it's their norm to buy expensive rose oil and use it even when they don't have a wound. So since it's normal for them to buy the expensive rose oil, that's why they are allowed to do so. It doesn't look medicinal. Rabbi Shimon Omer, again we see the power of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, missing Baruch. At Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he teaches us that all Jews are very special. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim Hein. Every Jew is a prince. Every Jew is nobility. And so every Jew, it's normal for him to spend a lot of money on the rose oil. And therefore, when he applies the rose oil to his thigh, it doesn't look like medicine. Why did he go spend so much money on this thing? No, it just looks like he's acting in the normal way, and therefore he's allowed to do it on Shabbos, even though he's doing it for a medicinal purpose, because it's not clearly medicinal. Other people just think he's doing it for a regular pleasure purpose. And as a regular pleasure, there never was a rabbinic prohibition. All right, that is the Mishnah. So the beginning of the Mishnah talked about swallowing vinegar. Rami le Rav Acha Aricha, dehu Rav Acha bar Papa. Rav Acha, the tall, the long one, who was Rav Acha bar Papa, challenged Rav Abahu. It's now we went to our Mishnah, Choshesh Beshina, of someone who has a toothache, lo yigam bohene sachomets. He shouldn't swallow the vinegar, because swallowing the vinegar is clearly a medicinal act to help his teeth. Remember the chometz malu lishinai? Does this imply that vinegar helps the teeth? Baksin, we have the verse in Mishlei, which criticizes a lazy person. You ask the lazy person to do something, so because he's lazy, it's just not going to get done. And the pasuk says, kachometz lashinayim. Sending a lazy person to do a task is like applying vinegar to your teeth. It's like smoke to the eyes. So that sounds like vinegar hurts the pain teeth. It doesn't help the pain teeth. Answer the Gemara. Lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. Habikiyua depri. The pasuk is talking about vinegar from spoiled fruit, grapes that didn't ripen fully, and you make out of these sour grapes a vinegar. However, our Mishnah is talking about grapes that ripened fully. The grapes became wine, but then the wine soured and became vinegar. So I guess there's a difference in strength. If the grape itself was souring, unripe, and out of that a vinegar was made, it's a very strong vinegar, and that hurts the teeth. But if it first was sweet, it was wine, and then the wine soured into vinegar, that's what our Mishnah says, it helps the teeth. Both the Mishnah and the Pasuk are referring to the normal vinegar, to wine, which is sweet, that then becomes vinegar. Hadika maka. One is talking about where the gums have wounds, they're bleeding. Hadaleka maka. The Pasuk that says that the vinegar hurts the teeth is when the gums are not irritated. Ikamaka, if there's a wound, the gums are irritated, masik, the vinegar heals it. Lekamaka, if there's no wound, then mirape, the vinegar weakens the teeth, because the vinegar makes the flesh contract. And so if you have inflated gums, swollen gums, the vinegar helps. But if you don't have swollen gums, then the opposite. The vinegar makes the gums contract, and the teeth now are further apart from each other, and that adds to the pain. The Mishnah said, someone who has a toothache, his teeth are hurting, he shouldn't swallow the vinegar. I asked the Gemara about time, but didn't learn in the Braisa. If he has teeth hurting himself, lo yigamahu polit. He shouldn't put the vinegar into his mouth, gargle around, and spit it out. Avol megameahu boleh. But he can put the vinegar into his mouth if he swallows it. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, kitznan nami masnisin. And the Mishnah said he shouldn't take the vinegar. What it means is he shouldn't have the vinegar to spit out. Megameahu polit tanan. He shouldn't slosh it around his mouth and spit it out, but to swallow it would be allowed. That looks like eating. Rav Amar Abba said, when our Mishnah says that when he has toothache, tooth pain, he shouldn't swallow vinegar, it means swallowing vinegar. Megameo bole, either Bryce that says you're allowed to swallow vinegar. Kam lifnei tibul, if you swallow right before you eat, you're about to have a meal, and you have some vinegar that you put into your mouth, and you swallow it. It looks like it's part of your meal. It looks like it's your appetizer. That's when it's allowed. Khan, the Mishnah said that it's not allowed. Was la'achar tibul. You already finished your eating, and now you swallow the vinegar. It's clearly medicinal. It's clearly medicinal. It's not allowed. Asks the Gemara, is that really true? Don't we have a rule called Ho'il, that things are consistent? The name of, why don't we say, Midu Lifnei Tibul Shari, since it's allowed, if you have the vinegar before the meal, Lacha Tibul Nami Shari, and therefore if you have the vinegar after the meal, it should also be allowed. Yishamina Leila Rava, this Leila Ho'il, we know that Rava says, we have this concept of since. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Lakamidi to the Shabbos Shari." There's no malacha that would be allowed on Shabbos or Yom Kippurim, but on Yom Kippur, which is less severe than Shabbos, it would be usur. Why? Hold to the Shabbos Shari, since it's permitted on Shabbos, Yom Kippurim, which is less than Shabbos, because Yom Kippur only carries with it the penalty of kares. Shabbos carries with it the penalty of skila, of being stoned. Yom HaKippurim Nami Shari. On Yom Kippur, it's also permitted. You say the same thing. If you could have vinegar before the meal, you should be able to have vinegar after the meal too. Says the Gemara, Hadar Boy Rava Meha. Rava changed his mind. And he changed his mind. And he said, you said you're right. If you'd be allowed to have vinegar before the meal, you'd be allowed to have vinegar after the meal. So the answer between the two sources that our Mishnah says you can't have vinegar is because it's vinegar that a person is sloshing around his mouth and then spitting out. The rice that says a person can have vinegar when his teeth hurt is referring to swallowing vinegar. So Gemara says, who says Rava changed his mind about the answer of when you had the vinegar? Maybe Rava changed his mind from the other point. Maybe he thinks that you could have something prohibited on Shabbos. I'm sorry, you could have something permitted on Shabbos, but prohibited on Yom Kippur. In other words, you could say that you'd be allowed to be tovel in a mikvah on Shabbos for purity, but not on Yom Kippur. We know that Rebbe changed his mind on that issue. Yitanya learned explicitly in a brisa, Kol chayave tvilos, anyone who's tummy and needs to go to the mikveh to become pure, tovim kedaitim bein b'tisha b'av bein b'yom ha-kippurim. They can go to the mikveh on Tisha B'av or on Yom Kippur. So you see that Rebbe was going to agree to that. He's not going to go against the brisa. So it must be Rebbe changed his mind when he said that you see that Rava holds of this idea of Hoil. Rava holds of the idea that if something is permitted, it's permitted. Because according to the mikvah, it's permitted on Shabbos for purification. It's also permitted on Yom Kippur. So if he holds of Hoil, he would also say, if you're allowed to have vinegar before a meal, certainly be allowed to have vinegar. You therefore should also be allowed to have vinegar after the meal. So it must be that's not Rava's answer. But what's Rava's answer? There's a difference between having vinegar and spitting it back out, and ingesting the vinegar and swallowing it. Okay, then the Mishnah said, if a person has pains in his thighs, so he should not apply to the thighs as a lotion wine and vinegar. Because wine and vinegar is clearly a medicinal act. But he could apply oil, because oil just looks like a regular pleasure act. But not expensive oil, not the rose oil. Because who's going to go spend money on expensive oil? The only people who spend money on expensive oil are people who are very rich. He's not very rich. If he's spending money on expensive oil, everybody sees, oh, he's doing it for medicine. It's a medicinal act, and it's not allowed. But Rabbi Shimon says, no. All Jews are very rich. All Jews are princes. We're all the children of Hashem. And therefore, it's fine for a Jew to spend money on the expensive oil. People don't think, oh, that's medicinal. They just say, oh, you spent money on the expensive oil because that is a normal act. Okay, says the Gemara. Achoshesh b'masnav, right? If somebody has pain in his thighs, so he can't apply wine and vinegar, but he could apply oil, but not rose oil, except for a prince. And Rabbi Shimon says all Jews are princes. Amar Rav Abba Bar Zabda, my Rav. Rav Abba Bar Zabda says the name of Rav. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. All Jews are princes. Says the Gemara, the name of Rabbi Shimon, Rav k'Rabbi Shimon Svirle. We know that throughout Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda was the strict one, Rabbi Shimon was the lenient one. Classical example, are you allowed to take a piece of furniture and drag it across the lawn to get it up onto the porch? According to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to. You might make a ditch in the lawn. It's going to be easier now to plant your vegetables in the lawn. Something that you don't have intention for, according to Rabbi Shimon, is permitted. Whereas according to Yehuda, it's chayiv. You're not allowed to do it. Malacha shena tzricha legufa. You do a malacha for a purpose different than the purpose of the Mishkan. Or you don't really want it. It's somewhat destructive. Rabbi Shimon holds pater. Rabbi Yehuda holds chayiv. So here Rav says, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. All Jews are princes. All Jews can use the expensive oil. It doesn't look like a medicinal act. Does Rav hold like Rabbi Shimon? I have Amr of Shimon Bar Chiya Shmei de Rav. Rav Shimon Bar Chiya said the name of Rav. Haim Sukraya de Nazyasa. This rag that was put around the faucet of an earthenware barrel of wine. Asur, now turning to Kuf Yud Aleph from the base. Asur Laduka B'Yamatava. You're not allowed to tighten it on Yom Tov. Why? Because when you tighten the rag on Yom Tov, you're going to be squeezing out some of the wine that tripped into the rag. And that would be a form of dash, of squeezing a liquid out of a solid, like squeezing olive oil out of an olive. Now, one second. That's not your intention. Your intention is just to tighten the rag so that the faucet stays more tightly inside the barrel. I thought Rav Shimon holds davar sheino miskaven. When you have something where you're not intending for, it's permitted. The Gemara says, not really, Rav holds like Rav Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos. Really, Rav holds a lenient view of Hilchos Shabbos. But nevertheless, he said, on Yom Tov, you can't tighten the rag around the earthenware wine vessel. Because Bahia feel the Rabbi Shimon modes, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's not allowed. I, Rabbi Shimon, holds that when you do something without intention, it's permitted. No, but Bahia and Rava Dami Tarvai, both Abaya and Rava say, Mode Rabbi Shimon, Sikreisha Velo Yamas. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if you're not intending for something, but it's a guarantee to happen, then you are intending for it. So let's say a guy says, my child wants to play with the head of a chicken. I'll cut off the head of the chicken, and it's not gonna. And I don't want it to die. I'm not looking for it to die. I just want to get the head off. Yeah, but if you're cutting off the head, of course it's gonna die. So Rabbi Shimon there says it is a davar sheino. It's a davar sheino miskaven. Something you're intending for. Says the Gemara. Okay. So right. So we resolved the question. Right? We said, how can Rav say halacha like Rabbi Shimon? Does Rav really hold like the lenient view in Hilchos Shabbos? But we know that Rav says you can't tighten the rag that's around the vessel. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, you should be allowed to because you're not trying to squeeze out the wine. The answer is no. There, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're not allowed to because there it's an impossibility. Of course, the wine is going to be squeezed out, and Rabbi Shimon agrees when things are guaranteed to happen, that is miskaven. So Gemara says, still, how could you say that Rav holds halachas like Rabbi Shimon? I'm a Rabbi Kiyah bar Ashi, I'm a Rav. You know Rabbi Kiyah bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, the davar sheino miskaven. If you do something and something happens that you're not intending for, it's usur, it's not allowed. Rav Chanan bar Ami, Amar Shmuel. Rav Chanan bar Ami is the name of Shmuel. Halachas like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon. But Shmuel holds halachas like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Kiyah bar Avin, Masin lebelo Gavri. Rav Kiyah bar Avin used to relate this without saying who taught it. He would just say, Rav Amar Alach Kibbe Yehuda. Rav says Alach is a Kibbe Yehuda who's strict on Hilchos Shabbos. Shmuel Amar Alach Kibbe Shimon. Shmuel's the one who says Alach is a Kibbe Shimon who's lenient in Hilchos Shabbos. How can we have an argamara here in regards to the question of are all Jews considered princes and therefore allowed to use the expensive oil because it doesn't look medicinal? How can we just say Halacha is like Kibbe Shimon? I thought Rav holds generally halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Amar Rav, therefore Rav said, Ani, I, v'arisha b'chabura, and the lion of the group, Targamina. We explained it. Umani, who's that lion of the group? Kiyah bar Avin. And Rav is saying here that when you're not allowed to do medicinal acts, nevertheless, you can use the rose oil for the pain in your thighs. When he says halachas like Rabbi Shimon, he means Velav mitame, but not for the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. A different reason. So Gemara now asks, "My halacha Rabbi Shimon velav mitame." So what do you mean halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but not for his reason? Ilei my halacha Rabbi Shimon deshari. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon who allows all Jews to use the rose oil, but velav mitame, not for his reasoning. Ilei Rabbi Shimon tzavar masi. Rabbi Shimon holds the rose oil heals. But you're allowed to do it, even though it's clearly a healing act because it's such an expensive thing. Because all Jews can act very expensive. All Jews can act in a very noble way. All Jews are children of Hashem. But Rav, the Rav Savar Lo Masi, Rav holds that the oil doesn't even heal. So if it doesn't heal, it's not medicinal. What the rabbi has prohibited a medicinal act, it's something which heals, and which is clearly healing. But Rav holds this doesn't even heal. So that's why he allows it. But is that true? The Sabar Rav Lo Masi. Does Rav hold that rose oil not heal wounds or pains? Amidik Tani, from the fact that it said, Name Lachim, Sachin al Gabi Makoseim Shemin Verit. The Tanakama said, King, the children of kings, they can use the rose oil because for them it's not clearly, oh, he's got a wound here. He's got a lot of money to spend. So, Michlal, that implies Damasi, that the rose oil does heal. Ella says the Gemara, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Deshari. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon who allows using the rose oil. The Lav Mitame, but not for his reasoning. Rabbi Shimon Samar Afagav Lo Shkiach Shari, even when this rose oil is not, you know, readily available and it's expensive, and so it's clearly an act that's medicinal, it's allowed, because all Jews can spend a lot of money if they want. It looks normal for them to do that. They're all nobility. Rav Sava, Rav Oz, but differently. It says, Ishchiach in a place where there's a lot of rose oil. And the rose oil, therefore, is inexpensive. It's not, doesn't cost a lot. So then it's allowed, because then it doesn't look like a medicinal act. It just looks like a pleasure act. Lo Shchiach. But if it's a place where rose oil is rare and expensive, then lo, then Rav would say, like the Tanna Kamma, a regular Jew cannot use rose oil to alleviate a pain because it's not right. It looks like he's spending money. It's clear that he's doing something for medicine. Uba Asra de Rav, the point is that in the town of Rav, Shkiach Mishcha de Varda, it was very easy to find the rose oil. There was a lot of rose oil. It was inexpensive. So that's what he says. Our town, we can use rose oil. It looks like it's a medicinal act. Not so bad. It's not so bad that it looks like a medicinal act, because it really doesn't. It's an inexpensive place. It's where they manufacture the rose oil. And since it's inexpensive, it doesn't look like... just using it for pleasure and not an act which is a problem. Hajin Allah Ba'ezus Hashem Yizbarach Perek Shmona Shratzim V'Hadarach Alon. All right, now we get into another topic, a very exciting topic. The topic of Kosher U'Matir. You know, one of the prohibitions, one of the 39 Malachos, is to tie a lasting knot and to untie a lasting knot. Yeah, question, is he? Any sickness that would interrupt your normal behavior. So if normally you would come to shul for mincha, you have a headache so bad you wouldn't be able to come to shul, you can take Tylenol and Advil. Whatever is nafalim mishkad, any type of nafalim mishkad doesn't mean literally in bed. It means that you can't go about doing the things you would normally do. That's already chola she'ein bo sakana. Chola she'ein bo sakana is allowed to take medicine. Says the Mishnah, Eluk sharem shechayav aleihem. The following knots are the biblical knots, that if you make these knots, you are chayav. If you make them on Shabbos, you would have to bring a sin offering. If you forgot that today is Shabbos, kesher hagamalin, the knot that's made by the camel drivers, the kesher hasapanim, and the knot that's made by the sailors for their sailboats. In the same way, for making these knots, it would be a biblical violation. So too, it's a biblical violation if he unties these knots. Rabbi Meir says, if you can untie a knot with one hand, that's not a type of knot that you would be obligated for. Only a knot requires two hands to untie. Ask the Gemara, my kesher gamalinum, the kesher sapanim. What is the knot of the camel drivers or the sailors? Ile mekitru the kachim is mama, mekitru the kachim is terida. If it's going to be the knot that's tied onto the nose ring, or the knot that's tied onto the ring on the ship, I kesher sheno shel kayamu. That's not a lasting knot. The whole point is you have the, you sort of think about a bike, right? You lock your bike to the fence. They would tie the donkey, the camel, to the fence by making a chain from the fence to the nose ring. that you're going to undo it when you have to take the camel out. Well, the answer is kitra dizmama gufe. We're talking about the knot that's actually in the nose of the dung of the camel. That doesn't leave that knot. That's a lasting knot. Udistarida gufe. And the knot that's actually in the hole on the top of the boat. Put in a rope, make a knot, leave that permanently. And that's how the boat gets tied. It gets tied down, and that is a permanent knot. Rabbi Meir says, Kol kesher, any knot, shuyachal atu b'achas miyada, you could untie with one hand, you're a putter about. Voy Ravachadvoy, Achoy Damar Acha. Ravachadvoy, the brother of Ravacha, asked, Anivel Rabbi Meir Mao, what about making a bow, according to Rabbi Meir? What's the law? This time, Rabbi Meir, Mishum Yachal Atiro, Vachas Miyadav. But Nami Yachal Atiro, is the reasoning of Rabbi Meir that you could untie it with one hand. You can also untie a bow with one hand, so therefore you'd be exempt. Maybe the reasoning of Rabbi Meir is that it's not tight. But this bow, the bow, which two loops, is very tight. And therefore, maybe that would be a biblical knot. That's the Gemara Teiku. We do not know the answer. Next Mishnah. There are knots that you're not obligated for them, a sin offering. And even though, right, that you're not obligated for them a sin offering like you are for the knot of the camel drivers or the sailors. All right, now some examples of knots that are permitted. Kosheres isha miftach haluka. A woman is allowed to tie the strings of her robe, uchute svacha, or the strings on her hairnet, the shel psikaya, or of her belt, uritzuos min of a sandal, or the straps of a shoe or a sandal, no dos yain v'shemet, the flasks of leather, of wine or oil, gera shel basar, or a pot of meat. Reb Lezman Yaakov says, "Kosh and lefnei abehema, shvil shelo teitze." You're allowed to tie a rope in front of an animal in the doorway so that the animal not get out. Because since that's something which is tied and untied every day, it's not considered a permanent knot. Therefore, it is permitted. Ad kan. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph.